This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, St. Ignatius spent his entire life studying, learning, and praying about you. May what he concluded be our concluding prayer as well. Lord, give me your grace and your love, and that will be enough for me. Amen. Good morning. Well, it's good to know that we have a whole church full of people who think they're landowners in this church. Which is good when we get to the point of the gospel today. Today I want to talk to you about the F-bomb, that four-letter word that we don't like to hear uttered in polite conversation. And of course, I'm talking about the four-letter word that begins with F. Fair. How many times in our lives have we observed or even participated in, when we were kids, having something not go our way, and we say to our parents or to our teachers, "It's not fair." I think as we grow up, we don't say it very much, but I think that attitude sometimes remains. And the point of the gospel story tonight, today, is that no, it isn't fair, because God was never about being fair. Because being fair would take away the whole idea of God's unbounded love and grace that is there for every one of us. I'm sure you can relate as I tell the story of when I was growing up, seven kids in the family, and if there was a candy bar or a cake or a pie, the seven of us would try to be the first one to get at it. And inevitably, mom or dad would say, "Okay, one of you cut it, and then the others get to choose the pieces first." And then you become, if you're the cutter, this geometrically precise person with scientific rigor to make sure that those pieces are all the same, because if I got to get the last piece, I want mine to be as big as everybody else's. Right? Yet we go about life and our spiritual life sort of living it this way. As if God has this pie, and if I'm getting a smaller piece, that means you're getting a bigger piece. And I've got to try to get the bigger piece, because there's only so much pie that there is here. And again, it's the wrong question. God is not about fairness. There's not just one pie. God is up all night, and there's an infinite supply of pies. It's one of those all-you-can-eat buffets. There's always more. And that's what he's trying to get them to understand today. Let's look back as we have the last few weeks. We go back to the Transfiguration story that jumpstarts all of these series of Gospels. Jesus takes his closest disciples up the mountain. There he is revealed as who he is. The voice from heaven as he's transfigured says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And they come back from that mountain, and they've been given their vision and their mission. that God's bounty is so great that now the idea becomes for us how many people we want to reach out to so that they can enjoy what we enjoy. And there is enough pie for everybody. So what happens now, as we continue what we've been reading in Matthew's gospel, the rich man comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? We know this story. And he says, well, obey the commandments. I've done that all my life. Well, love God and love your neighbor yourself. Done that all my life. What else can I do? Okay, you're a rich guy. Take all your money, sell what you have, give it to the poor, then come follow me. And he walked away sad because he had many possessions. Now, Jesus says, it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Pretty hard. Peter pipes up again, puts his foot in his mouth. Well, Jesus, look, we have given up everything. I mean everything to follow you. As if to say, if there's anybody that's earned this eternal life stuff, it is us. And what's the thing he's really saying? It's not fair. And it's not about fairness. And so Jesus responds by telling this parable. That is the background we need to understand to grasp how this has nothing to do with fairness. The best way I can relate to this parable is go back to the time when I was in Italy when they had the great Italian earthquake in the early 80s. I don't know if you've experienced an earthquake, but it's not pretty. It is the scariest thing I've ever experienced. And we were in the four-story North American college, and there was a skeleton crew of students and faculty who were there because we were getting ready to lead the orientation for the new students. And I was in my room when everything started to go back and forth, the ceiling, the floor, the walls, and we didn't know if we were at the epicenter of this thing or what. We didn't know if the roof was going to come crashing down. The only thing you think about is, I got to get out of this building. And so you run down the five flights of stairs and you get out on the soccer field. And you start thinking, well, Joe's in there, Tom's in there, and you start counting up all the people that you want to make sure get out of that building. And when you run out of fingers, somebody else gets out, and they start counting other people that they knew were there. And you celebrate with each person that gets out of that building, and then finally you know that there are two people who aren't out of there yet, and you're worried to death because you don't know if this thing's going to come crashing down, and they get out. And there is great rejoicing. Now, I think that image is important for us as sort of a paradigm of what our spiritual life is about. We are trying to make sure every possible person that we can gets out alive. The fundamental people will say, we're trying to get everybody into heaven, get them saved. What we would say is, we are trying to make sure that this incredible life that Jesus offers to us of this unbounded grace is experienced by as many people as possibly can. This is such a good thing. We don't want anybody to miss it. And that's the point of this parable. Think of this story. 25 husbands with wives and kids at home show up. Just like if you go up to Home Depot on Lake Worth Road on any given morning, hoping against hope that somebody's going to come along and hire them so that at the end of the day they can go home and they're going to have food on the table for their family. And so the owner comes along and hires five of them. And what great relief it must be for them. I'm going to work all day, but I know that when I go home, we're going to have food on our table tonight. And he goes back a little later, and there's more of them still there. Out of his generosity, he hires them. He goes back again and again. And finally, at 5 o'clock, can you imagine? You've waited there all day. What am I going to tell my wife? How am I going to deal with my kids crying because there's no food tonight? And they get hired at 5 o'clock. They're going to have food on the table tonight. Is this about fairness? No. This is about the generosity of a God who wants to make sure we understand there is always, always enough. We think we're the landowners? Well, that's good then, because live with God's generosity then in the way we live our lives. You know, things do happen to us in life that we can't control. That I don't think has anything to do with God. It just happens. We get sick. People get cancer. Loved ones die. Jobs are lost. Some people even lose their homes. That God doesn't cause, it just happens. But the thing is, the only thing that we can control is the way we choose to respond. Viktor Frankl, survivor of the Nazi concentration camps, wrote Man's Search for Meaning, and he talks about, you know, when all is said and done, the last thing that they cannot take away from me is the way I choose to respond. They can't take away the attitude I choose to approach life with. You can take away my political, religious freedom. You could take away my family. You could take away my home. You could take away my job. You could take away my money. But there's one thing they can't take away unless you let them, and that is your attitude. This parable is to teach us the attitude that we should have is just unbounded gratitude for the grace of God that overflows. When I hear this story, I always go back to the words of one of my all-time favorite heroes, Father John Claypool. He left us too soon a few years ago. But he had known a lot of loss in his own life. His beloved daughter died at a very young age of cancer. But he came to realize that this attitude is the only thing he could control. And he always reminds us of this. When it seems that it's not fair, when we're tempted to make that as our approach, think of this. Compare your life now to what you had an hour before you were born. It's not about fairness. It's about a God who is so generous that the pies are just going to keep coming and coming and coming. May we continue to open ourselves up to His grace.